Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our reading is the account of the wise men coming to the infant Christ. And as I read this, you might think, as we're approaching a new year, what can we learn from these people who were regarded as being so wise? What lessons might they have to teach us as we prepare to enter a new year? In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came from Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." And when King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes and all Jerusalem with him, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet." And this is a quote, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." End quote. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." You know what's in his mind. And when they heard the king, they set out and went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Just a sidebar on this. You heard Lori read the passage from Isaiah where the prophet saw a time when the nations would come to worship God in Israel. They bring two gifts, gold and frankincense. But notice here, the wise men have three gifts. And, I'll just make brief reference to this in the sermon. But the gifts aren't very practical, are they? We would bring nappies or Pampers or something like that. And the question is, why? Why does the author have them bringing these gifts? And in many societies, even today, circumstances surrounding a child's birth are often regarded as indicative of the future. And these gifts are what? What do they tell us about Jesus? Gold? The gift for a king, frankincense, that's incense that's burned, a priest uses, is one who will connect us with God. And then the third one, which Isaiah did not mention, is myrrh. That's used to prepare someone for burial. So you have the cross in Matthew's account, right in the middle of Christmas. Okay? This person will be a king, the Messiah. He will connect us with God, but he will also die. Okay. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another way. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Use your imagination just for a moment. Picture this. They came riding out of the night, travelers from a far and distant land. It's a land that's very often in the news today. It's the modern country of Iran. And these philosophers, astrologers, were people who studied the stars to get some indication of the meaning and the direction of human affairs. And they came a long way. They crossed desert sands. They pitched their tents during the day, during the heat of the day. And then they traveled in the cool of the night. And they must have made a very impressive sight, these foreign dignitaries riding through the streets of Jerusalem, carrying not just their gifts, but the dust of 1,000 miles. They asked for an interview, an audience with King Herod, and there they asked him, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Today, we're about to head into a new year. And I think it's a good time to look at these wise men again and to ask what they might say to our lives as we begin a new start on things. As December gives way to January and 2019, what might these wise men of old say to us right now? What do you think? For one thing, at least for me, they say that life is a journey. Now, we don't travel today by camel caravans like they did. Transportation has changed dramatically just in modern times. Today we have what? The Subarus and the Toyotas and the Chevys and the Fords and all the rest. And we have GPS to guide us on our way. Richard Branson, the British entrepreneur, is building an actual spaceport in New Mexico. And people have paid over $200,000 a head to be on his flight that takes you up sort of to the fringe of space. A lot has changed over the years. I think of my parents and the transportation adjustments they saw in their lifetime. Back at the turn of the last century, what people were still using horses and buggies. And they lived to see people walking on the moon. Tremendous changes. Just by accident, I happened to be reading an article and I came across a manual for flight attendants for TWA. It no longer exists. Transworld Airlines was a big deal in its day. But this goes back to 1930. And these are the instructions for the flight attendants, okay? Before the plane leaves, clean the cabin, sweep the floor, dust off the chairs and the window sills. Make sure the seats are, you know, properly fastened to the floor. Warn the passengers about throwing cigars and cigarettes out the window. Be sure to wind up the clock and the altimeter. be sure to carry a railroad timetable in case the plane is grounded. And keep an eye on the passengers going to the lavatory so that they don't mistakenly go out the emergency exit. Things have changed. But you know, this metaphor of a journey has often been used by authors and writers as a metaphor or an image for life, for faith. It goes all the way back to Homer and the Odyssey. And it's interesting, I don't know if any of you saw the new Mission Impossible movie, but in that, Ethan receives his instruction from Homer's Odyssey. There's a book of Homer's Odyssey. Inside of it is a tape recorder and all the rest of it. But you have the Odyssey. It goes all the way to Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, C.S. Lewis's The Chronicles of Narnia. In the Bible, you have Abraham stepping out into the unknown and St. Paul's travels and adventures throughout the Mediterranean world. Life is a journey. Faith is a journey. It's a journey from, what, infancy to maturity, from one place to another. It's not a merry-go-round. We don't go around in circles. But it is a journey. It can be a roller coaster, by the way, but it's not a merry-go-round. And I think as we go into the new year, it's time for us to mount up on our camels and follow the star that appears in our lives. Because that star can take us to, you know, new friendships, new places, new stages in life, new jobs. It can even call us back to church. I think the wise men show us that life and even faith is a journey from one place to another. What else might we learn from these people of old? I think one thing, again, that strikes me is that they persevered when they ran into trouble. And I don't know if you noticed, but through most of their journey, the star is there, and they can follow it. But there comes a point when they sort of lose their way. They can't see the star anymore. Now, you know the old joke, and this is what I was referring to back about the gifts. There's an old joke, if the women were the wise men, if there were three wise women, what would happen? What would be different? They would arrive, well, first of all, they would ask directions. They would arrive on time. They would help deliver the baby. They would clean up the cattle stall. They would make casseroles. And they would bring practical gifts. And they would bring world peace. Now notice again that the wise people, the wise men, lost the star. It was with them most of the way, but they lost the star. That's why they end up with Herod. And I think there are times in our lives when the same thing can happen to us as it did to those wise men. The star's there guiding us, everything's fine, and then the clouds come in. And we're lost. We don't know the way to go. But the thing about them was they persisted nonetheless. And sometimes I think we have to remember in the darkness what we learned in the light. We have to remember in the darkness what we learned in the light. And I was struck by Vincent van Gogh has this painting called The Starry Night. And against this a dark night background, he has these stars that are just brilliant diamonds in the sky. And what's amazing is that he could paint this at what was a very down period in his own life, a very despondent period in his own life. He was able, on this occasion, to remember in the darkness what he had seen in the light. There was, in the Nazi concentration camps, there was a cell that a Jewish prisoner was kept in. And after the Second World War, they found etched into the wall three lines that that prisoner had written. And it said, "I believe in the sun, even when it is not shining. I believe in love, even when the feeling's not there. I believe in God, even if he is silent." Again, that prisoner was able to remember in the darkness what he had seen in the light. I can remember visiting a friend of mine in the hospital. She was in the hospital with cancer. And as if that wasn't enough, she said that what troubled her was that she had lost the ability to pray. But then she said this, "You know, I've prayed before, I'll pray again, but right now I have to learn just how to wait. I have to learn to wait." And there's a truth there, you know, that the wise men lost the star, but they found it again. And I think that can happen again with us. There may be times when we just don't see God's activity in our lives. But that doesn't mean it's not there. And the time will come again when we realize it, when we recognize it. There's a time in the darkness to remember what we have seen about God in the light. When the darkness came, the wise men didn't give up. I think there's something else here we can learn from these people. And that would be my third point, that life is a journey, faith is a journey, from one place to another, that we're called to remember in the darkness what we have learned in the light. But also, what was the end of the journey? The end of the journey was that child and the person he was to become, what his meaning was. And they came riding out of the night with their gifts. And when the star stopped, what was their reaction? They were just filled with joy. And they knelt down and presented their gifts, and they worshiped him. And it seems to me that in this life there are some truths, you know, that we can study. There are truths we can analyze and break down. But there are some truths before which we can only respond by bending the knee, by bowing down with those wise men, and just being overwhelmed with joy and thanksgiving. And again, presenting our gifts, presenting ourselves. Marco Polo was a Venetian back around, what, the 1200s, the 1300s. And he was a businessman and an explorer. And he has an interesting account of something he ran into in a village in Persia, in Iran. And there the people had something he hadn't run across. They had a story about the wise men. And in this legend that these people had, the wise men represented the different times of life: youth, middle age, and old age. One was 20, one was 40, one was 60. And 60, again, was not today's 60. It was the way it was back then. And according to this legend, the young wise person saw in Christ the promise, the beauty, and the wonder, the joy of youth. The middle-aged person saw in the babe the resilience of the good life. And the older wise man saw in the child a taste of eternity, an eternity of which he would soon be part of. And the point of the legend was that each person, regardless of his stage in life, found an answer to his deepest need in this Christ. This morning, as we prepare to enter a new year and a new start, we look at these wise men. And I think one lesson they gave us is wisdom is loving God. Wisdom is accepting Christ's birth and rule in our own lives. And when that desire in our lives arises, when that need for God we feel is there and powerful, I think we are called to cherish it, to hold it as close to our heart as those wise men hung on to that star. For you never know where that star will lead us today. And as it led those wise men of old, I think it will lead us to Bethlehem and the child born there and the person he will become. We wish you all a very happy new year coming up and a very happy new start.